It's been a while since we've recorded.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Has it been like real life has gotten in the way, or what's happened?
I mean, so I've been kind of like in a funk. Like, I haven't even edited other episodes we've recorded yet. Like, I'm just, I've been playing games. I've been kind of just trying to make it through this. My regular job has me working overtime. So, like, I don't even really have weekends anymore. It's kind of just, everything is kind of turned into a blur where I work some of the day, and then the rest of the day I'm either playing games or watching TV or doing something to take my mind off everything else. And I just, doing the podcast stuff, even though I like doing it and enjoy doing it, it's another sort of work, you know, and it takes a mental energy that I haven't been able to find.
I get that totally. I've sort of been in that same where work is there, but it's just, yeah, that blurry days of where I don't know what's going on. It's just, I either work or I'm not working. And when I'm not working, even my gaming, though, has been affected by it. But, like, yeah, it's, you said you're working overtime, and ours, we're taking pay cuts to, like, help others out. And the things I've started doing is just turning to Twitter. And,
oh, no. No, that's not the right thing to do.
Who else is going to save us but the brands on Twitter, basically? And I'd forgotten about this, but like, there was a brand out there that was running a random promotion. I think it was like Cocoa Water. And they were like, hey, tell us your quarantine stories. And so I told them about like my story that, hey, I just found out we're taking pay cuts, but it's to help other people stay on. And that's good, I guess. But then I also like bought some Dr. Pepper with cream soda flavor. And I opened it up, and it's just Diet Dr. Pepper. And I was like, this is my life. Here you go. There's my quarantine story. And they were like, that sucks. Here, give us your address and talk to us and stuff. And I was like, okay. And they'll send me, like, something. I just checked my mail today. So Cocoa Water has sent me cocoa water infused with hemp to help me relax. And they've sent not one, but they sent me a 12-pack.
Make Me a Gamer, now sponsored by Cocoa Water, apparently.
With hemp. Like, I was expecting, okay, they might send me, like, a can or a sample or something. And I didn't realize that With Hemp is their new product that they're pushing for relaxation, which is why send us your quarantine stories.
Oh, jeez.
I have a whole 12-pack now of, like, this. Oh, no. And I'm just like, awesome, great, I guess. I'm winning? Is this winning?
I mean, you got free stuff. That's always winning in some degree, right? Maybe?
Sure. Harvey Z, now with more hemp.
No. Hempy Z, right? Is that...
Hemp is... I think it's okay. Yeah, we're good.
Okay. All right.
I'll try some and I'll let you know. We'll do some product reviews. We'll get the new Mellow Z next time.
Yeah, Mellow Z. All right. I don't have any way to top that, so let's just go straight into that.
It's a gamer. Da-da. We're here. It's a gamer. Da-da. This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
Mellow. Yeah?
Super. Yeah. Super chill.
Yeah. Is that... Are you drinking it right now, or are you saving
it for
later?
I'm a professional, sir.
Okay.
I'll try it on my own first, and then take it to the show.
Okay. All right. So it's... we're still doing the quarantine thing. It's still... I don't know when this is going to come out. I'm hoping sooner than later. I'm hoping to get back into a groove where you'll get to hear. We did a special episode that should come out before this, if all editing goes well, where we had our two friends on as guests. It was the first four-person podcast we did. Hope you enjoy it. It was very Civilization-heavy.
Do you think we'll do more of those?
Maybe. We'll see how schedules turn out. Like, I like the format. I like being able to play Trivia Master. That was fun.
That's true. I enjoyed it. It was cool to have everybody there. It was Civ heavy, but I think that was, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think if we do it again, I might want to stay away from, I want to have more of like a fun interaction-y type vibe. Mm-hmm. Because that one, it was kind of us explaining, like, I think we got a lot of technical stuff in there.
That's true.
And the trivia stuff was more where we got our personality out. It
feels like our bottle episodes. Is that the right term? Like, yeah. It feels different from the other episodes that we do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that's a bottle episode. I mean, it technically is a bottle episode because bottle episodes are TV show episodes where everything takes place in one location. So I guess we all technically all in our own bottle episodes right now.
That's what this life is at this point.
It's a bottle season instead of just a single episode. We're all stuck in the same place. Just bottles everywhere. I don't know where I'm going with that. So I've been playing games. Have you been playing games?
Sort of.
Okay.
I've been exploring games in a way.
Okay. Well, we'll get to whatever that means. But first, I want to do a little bit of breaking news. And this is something that I retweeted on Twitter that just is, it's the continuing saga of Fallout 76.
Yes. And oh, these guys can bring joy into my life.
It's just another thing going wrong in this game, and it's a never ending, you know.
How
just,
is it still around, this game?
People are still playing it. I guess they just don't quit. And Bethesda is putting out updates and new stuff, and it just seems like every time they put something new in,
like this company is determined to get rid of like its fan base. It's trying so hard, I feel. They've done so many stupid things, but the people who remain are the most loyal, like, preppers out there.
It's quite a feat how many different things have gone wrong, both like on like the hardware side and like from the special edition helmets having mold in them, to like the actual game breaking. And it's just all over the place with this game. I've never seen something hold on for so long with so many bad headlines.
But so the game must be good.
I don't think so. I think it's just an enduring mess. So this week, here's the headline of the story. Fallout 76 NPCs are looting player corpses, stealing their weapons, and refusing to give them back.
The NPCs. Is this intentional?
No, this is definitely a bug. So basically what's going on is when you die in Fallout 76, you respawn near where you die, and like you're not supposed to lose your weapons or your armor, and like there's only like what they call junk items are supposed to be like where your body is. But apparently what's happening is they die, and when they respawn, people are missing a weapon out of their inventory. And then when they go back to their corpse, there's an NPC nearby that's just has their weapon and is carrying it around.
So the NPC isn't smart enough to loot and run away. It just grabs it and then just hangs around. And now you have to kill so-and-so guy or steal it back.
Yep, pretty much.
That's awesome. That's awesome that they realize, like, the people who are missing, it's just like, oh, it's not a glitch that the game just made it disappear. That fucker has it. I see him. He has my gun.
And the best part is, these NPCs apparently can't be, like, killed the way monsters can. They can only be knocked out, which means you can't loot them. So they just have your weapon now. You can't get it back.
Would you have to, like, steal it from them?
It's unclear from this particular article, but it's just amazing that the NPCs have become, like, self-aware. And it's like, hey, that's a cool weapon. I'm going to take that from you while you're dead.
Oh, this is just Fallout 76. Never change.
This game, it, from an outside standpoint, it is the gift that keeps on giving. Like, last year, Anthem had, like, a really auspicious opening and, like, flamed out really hard. And, like, nobody talks about it anymore. But Fallout 76 had, like, the same sort of flame out, and it just keeps going. It just...
All publicity is good publicity for it.
I wouldn't say that, but...
Like, at this point, we have enough material probably to do a whole episode on just Fallout 76.
Yeah, I could probably do a clip show and just string together all the Fallout 76 issues and just stupid stuff that has happened in that game. That's great. It's good news. Like, it's not good news for people playing the game. So if you are playing the game, don't use, like, your really good weapons, or if you think there's a chance you might lose them. But for
that's
us,
such a, like, that's such a stupid thing to tell. Like, you have to use your weapons. It's just beware of NPCs nearby. Like, what do you do to stop this? This is great.
Yeah, you've just got to slaughter all the NPCs first. Knock them out before you go into the actual hard fight. Oh, man. Okay. So that's, like, gaming world has kind of slowed down. There isn't, like, a ton of news happening. A lot of games have been delayed. Same with, like, the movies and everything.
Because the companies can't work on them.
Right. I mean, they can they're still working on them. And they're doing, like, remote stuff, obviously. But it's... The production is not as strong. And also, like, the actual putting together, like, the physical copies of the games, getting them into the stores and things like that. So they're delaying things just to make sure that they can get everything done.
It's not like, oh, we won't make sales, because it seems like this would be the perfect time to, like, release games when people are all at home.
Yeah, like, it's 50-50 because, like, they're losing out on the physical retail sales. But, like, digital sales have been through the roof. Like, Animal Crossing, which I assume we'll get to as one of the games we've been playing.
Yeah.
I think it sold something like 5 million or something. Like, it set some sort of record in March and April. Oh, yeah, it sold an estimated 5 million digital copies in March. And it set a record for the most digital units of a game sold in a single month. So, like... Obviously, digital-wise, sales are going great for games because of all that's going on right now. Did you get Animal Crossing digitally?
I did. I was thinking about it, but mine is a completely digital copy, so that way it's always on the Switch.
Yeah, I got the same. I've really, like, turned the corner onto digital games for the Switch because it's a handheld. Like, I like not having to worry about cartridges when I'm, like, taking it places. And it's easy to just switch between games.
I agree, but, like, I feel like my Switch is already full almost at this point.
Yeah, you're going to have to get, like, an SD card. Have you gotten one?
I have not yet.
Yeah, I think I got a 128 gigabyte SD card that's been working for me. It might be 256. I honestly don't remember what the size, but I think I'm like 2/3 to 3/4 full on that. No, though, at this point. But
Because I was trying to download a game, and it was actually for the first time. It was like, oh, you need to delete a game, and luckily the only thing I had to delete was that eggplant game, the Onopagos one. So I deleted that, and I was able to put Divinity 2, I think, Original Sin on it.
Oh, are you starting to play that with Professor or?
Not with Professor, but with a family friend who has it.
Ah, cool. Awesome. Okay, so why don't we just go ahead and get into some games? You said you've been exploring games.
That's what we're... So, like, one of the things I've played, like, Divinity for, like, one session with a friend on the Switch. But, like, mostly I was playing a lot of Civ.
Okay.
On the computer, just playing it on Steam. Solo player. For the first time, I actually played, like, the new expansion by myself, because I realized, like, I have 100-plus hours of playing this, and I never completed a solo campaign.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which tells you how to play.
Yeah, I did one solo campaign, from start to finish with all the expansions and everything.
Did you win?
Yes, I got a culture victory.
See, I played it, and so I put in, like, it took me 4 days of playing this thing, and I went for the science victory. And in this game, if you haven't seen it yet, the science victory isn't a, you've completed it, you've won now. It's a, you've completed the final aspect of it, and now you just have to wait out the rest of the game to see if you get the most science points by the end. Wow. Or to see if you could fill, like, the science bar. Like, you shoot a rocket into space, and then each turn or so, it's going, like, a couple light years. And it's whoever has the most light years. So other people can shoot rockets as well. And there's different, like, diplomacy things that can increase your light year scores, and you can build structures to make it go further and faster. But, like, you don't just win. You have to fill up, like, your science bar. And by the time it got to, like, then the final turn, the other team that had started off behind me but had won, like, something which tripled its score ended up winning the science victory. And it was just, like, after 4 days of, like, playing this thing all the way through, like, I was a ruthless dictator by the end of this game, trying to make sure that I had enough. Like, Brazil was going for a cultural victory, so I just nuked them. I repeatedly nuked them into the ground, destroyed the entire environment of this world. But I was like, my people are leaving this fucking planet. It's okay. And then, like, the Persians managed to get more science than me, and I lost out after I destroyed this whole world.
Wow. That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That's also a fun story. Like, you're just nuking people that trying to escape Earth.
I couldn't defeat them on cultures, so I just nuked them.
Yeah, I kind of accidentally got culture. I was playing as Rome, and at some point I had built enough stuff where I was just, like, generating artists and writers and all that stuff to the point where I, like, had them wandering around because I didn't have enough buildings to put the art in. And like, I was just, I was sending rock bands out. Have you gotten to that?
Oh God, fucking, I love and hate the rock bands. I love them as, like, a unit, and the fact that you can use war on them. I hate being attacked by rock bands.
It's amazing. I love, like, that they, like, you send rock bands out and they generate tourism, and there's, like, a chance that they'll get old and retire because they have a bad concert, or they can, like, convert cities to, like, your religion with, like, that's the special one, power-ups.
My favorite one is the indie band. If you select the indie band promotion, they play smaller shows, but they can recruit partisans and decrease loyalty.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
Like, it's such a good mechanic, but, like, when I push, like, oh, end my turn, and then suddenly Brazil sends in, like, 10 tour buses, and all I hear during the extra turn is just rock and roll music, and so annoying. That's why I nuked the fuck out of them.
Yeah, like, I was generating so much faith, but, like, I think Egypt had just completely taken control of the religious. I think Spain and Egypt were just running away with religion. So instead of using the faith to, like, make my religious expand in that way, I was just generating rock bands and just sending them everywhere and just having all these concerts to add to my culture, because that's where I was going to end up winning at. So yeah, that was my, I liked playing as Rome. I liked the new expansions. It felt like I played with the weather level on 2, and it felt like nothing really affected me that much. Like, the only thing that happened in my general area was floods, and there were occasional, like, hurricanes or whatever, but it was never, like, anywhere near me.
The key thing, did you get a lot of, at the end of the game, did you get problems with your climate, like, the sea levels rising and stuff?
Yeah, so I almost lost a city. Like, I won before, but, like, the sea levels were rising, and, like, my city was, like, on a tile that was going to be destroyed if it went up again. But I managed to win before I lost anything. But yeah, the sea levels did start rising.
You can counter it, like, but you have to waste production and time to build, like, the structures to prevent it. But yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, a thing that you can use to, like, get rid of CO2 in the atmosphere or whatever. Like, you have to spend your time doing that instead. But like, I just had all these coal plants everywhere and was just like, fuck it, I don't care.
Yes. I love that the game lets you make that kind of a choice. Like, that's what I want to see, where this will get you ahead in the game, but it's going to cause problems for everybody. And yeah. It's just that, okay, well, if it's everybody, I'm going to use this as an offensive weapon.
Okay. Oh, we talked a lot about Civ 6 in the last episode we recorded, so let's not keep going on that. What about Divinity? So I also have Divinity on the Switch, if you feel like starting a game with me.
Can I have multiple games running?
I think so. I think you can play multiple save slots in that.
I might be interested. So that's the thing. That's where I said, like, exploring, because we played it, like, through a bit of the game, and then I was just kind of like, neither of us have wanted to play that again. Like, I don't know where, if it's just focusing on the game or what, but it didn't, like, I felt like this is a game that should totally attract my eye and, like, the type of game that I'd want to play, like, mindlessly, and I just can't get into it that much. It's okay. There's not a lot of action right now, so I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it starts out really slow, like, because I had the same problem. Like, I got through, like, the intro ship area, and was like in like the first little town area that you have to get out of, and it's like the intro quest sort of thing
where that's
you're
what like I'm at.
Finding your teammates and that. And yeah, that's as far as I got. I think also it's one of those games where I might want to play it on my television instead of in the handheld mode, because there's a lot of information on there, and like on the tiny screen it's really hard to navigate.
I agree on that part. Yeah. Like
I put a lot of hours into the original, and the 2 is supposed to be better. So I'd be interested in taking a swing at that with you at some point, if you have the time.
Okay. And then otherwise, the other thing that I've been kind of playing, that because again, it's so easy when I'm in this kind of funk, Animal Crossing is just the game of the, like, the season for me right now.
Yeah. I think I've booted up Animal Crossing every day since it's come out.
I missed it, so it broke my, like, chain, and so since then I'm like, I have to check in just to make sure I get those points at least on, like, the miles. And so I've been doing that.
What's your island look like right now? How far have you gotten it?
At this point, like, my island has gotten weird in the sense of, so I built a campground. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's, like, kind of gotten into this stale, or not stagnant phase, but where it's like, hey, you can build houses if you want to, or you can kind of build other structures. And it's given me a lot of options, but no, like, you must do this right now. And so because of that, because I only play for like 30 minutes at a time, I don't really have a purpose. I tried to build a bridge, and the guy is charging me so much money for the bridge. Yeah. Like, it's more than my house. And so I'm just like, every day I've kind of hit, that's where this funk of where I basically will farm, sell some money, or like sell some fruit to get some money, and then like I look around for fossils. Like, that's the one thing that in this game that has captured my attention.
And
is like, I want to have a damn good museum, and so I've been doing just that. And outside of that, I haven't been like, I've expanded my house once, I haven't gotten like an extra room or anything into it. I haven't really like expanded more into like building up the town, other than I think I have like 5 or 6 houses at this point. I realized as well, like, if you just leave something open, random people will move in.
Right, yeah. Like, so have you gotten the assignment to, like, make the island worth having a concert at?
That's what he's saying he's building up to, yeah. But he was you need to bring more people first.
Right, so basically, I think it's, you have to get 8 people living on your island. Like, that's, like, the goal. Like, basically, I think what you're working towards right now is building more houses and bringing more people to the island.
I think so, because I'm at like 7. The newest thing that happened was I met an art dealer.
Oh, you met the sneaky art dealer.
Yes, and I don't understand, like, there could be fake artwork, and I haven't seen what that means yet. The fox guy.
Okay, my thing skipped a little bit. I am hoping that didn't ruin my recording. Anyway. So Captain, have you seen Leaf?
Yes, I ran into, so here's the thing, like, these special characters that show up, do they have certain times or days that they come?
I think it's random. The turnip girl always comes Sunday morning.
I'm only in the morning? Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's Sunday morning.
I've never been able to buy turnips.
I think it's from like 6 a.m. until noon is when she is available Sunday mornings. That's a good way to make money.
I'm trying because I feel like that's the only way at this point to like solve my bridge problems and my housing problems is to just go way deep on turnips. But there was one point, I think I probably talked to her at like 11:45, and then I was like, oh, I'll buy some turnips later. And then I came back and she was gone. And I was like, where did she go? And I've been waiting, and it's just on Sunday mornings. Okay.
Yeah, Sunday mornings at from like 6 until noon. And then, yeah, everyone else is just kind of random. You get like, basically there's two places for the villagers or like the visitors to be. One is in like your plaza and one is just wandering the island. So like you'll see like the camel that sells rugs wandering around the island, but then Leaf will be in the plaza selling his hedges and bushes and whatnot. Or like CJ.
Mabel hangs out. CJ,
yeah, you haven't met CJ yet?
I don't think so.
He's an otter that does fishing stuff.
No, I haven't met CJ.
All right, he's cool. Have you gotten Mabel's shop yet?
Mabel's sock? No.
Shop.
Oh no, I haven't gotten the shop.
Yeah, so I would recommend buying a couple things from Mabel, even if you don't want them.
That's what always triggers it.
Yeah, you have to spend a certain amount of money and then she'll offer to move in and like open her tailor's shop on the island. And so I would recommend just buying a couple things. You can, if you don't want them, you can give them to a villager and like the villager might give you something back that you want. But okay. Yeah.
How do you get rid of villagers? Because I have a hippo that I fucking hate. And I've taken to bullying them.
Yeah, like, at best, it's like, I think, like, ignore them and or bully them. I think it's random. Because, like, I've had, like, my favorite person who I talk to all the time, Sherb.
Yeah.
He felt bad. He was, like, thinking about leaving at one point. My Rowan, the tiger, who's, like, a jock, he's thought about leaving twice. So like but it seems to be just kind of random because I treat all my villagers nicely.
I'm pretty cool with all of them except for the diva hippo. I every day take out my net and just whack her until she like gets all angry at me and like yells at me, and then I'm like, that's the mission for the day. That's all I'm trying to do. Every day make her mad so that she'll leave this island.
I like that is the general thing that people always say to do is just like smack them with your net and bully them. And I think once you get like the full resident service building, do you have that yet?
I just have like the Isabel has moved in and it's like okay, that structure.
If Isabel's moved in, then you've got the full building.
Okay.
I think you can go to her and complain about villagers.
I have. I've complained like twice about the hippo, but then nothing happened, so I haven't been like doing daily complaints.
Yeah, I don't actually know if that affects anything or not, honestly.
Okay.
But though you seem to be doing all the things people say to do if you don't want a villager.
Like I've taken all her stuff that she had from outside her house. I've taken it all and sold it. Like I'm trying to figure out
What did she do to you? Like, what don't you like about her?
She's like a super pop star diva person who keeps calling me a hipster.
Oh.
Like, everybody else is weird in a cool way, but this person is just too diva-ish that I just got annoyed. And I already have a hippo that's like a bro-y hippo, and I like the bro-y hippo.
Hip bro.
Yeah. He's just, he calls me Squirt, but he does it in a nice way, I think. He's very Harvey Z. I also think a hyena moved in. The hyena was amazing. The hyena is Kyle. He calls me Alpha, and he just doesn't give a shit.
Oh, Kyle is awesome. I've seen him from like other people. Kyle is amazing. Like there are, I think, like two or three villagers of mine that I'm like cool with, but I wouldn't mind if they decide to leave.
Uh-huh.
And, like, there are a bunch out there that I kind of want to pick up. I've had a couple visitors to my campsite, but none of them have, like, when you, once you get 10 villagers, if someone comes by your campsite, you can be like, hey, and they, and you can be like, hey, I want you to move in. And you're like, are you sure? And I'll have to swap with a villager. And I haven't gone far enough to see if it's like random or if you get to choose which villager they swap with. But I'm waiting to see if someone cool come visits from my campsite or if I can kick somebody out.
Okay, because I tried to get, like, there was a pig who was at the village or the campsite, and I was like, please, please move in. And I kept trying, and then she kept going, darling, no, no, I cannot. And she refused to move in. And I tried, like, four times.
Did you have a house open?
Because so I eventually got a house even for her. It didn't work out, and then she still wouldn't move in for some reason. And then afterwards, like the next day, some rando moved into that house.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So, like, I had really tried for to get, like, this pig to, like, join, but I couldn't. But now I have, like, these two bears, at least. One who I haven't really met their personality. The other just looks really grumpy. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. Like, again, I have a weird, like, setting of people. I like all of them except for the hipster hippo. I didn't like this duck. But then the duck, I've realized, all they do is, like, make things. And every so often give me DIY cards. And so I'm like, all right, this is cool. I'll keep this duck around because they keep giving me stuff.
And you got all the gifts I sent you, right?
Yes. So I use them. So because of my island, my main account doesn't have internet. And so I have to use the secondary island guy.
Uh-huh.
And so he gets all the stuff. At this point, like, he's really leaned into the wrestling luchador theme since you sent him a wrestling match or a wrestling mask. My family also has gotten into this game, and they saw that because, again, they're interacting with that dude. And so they've continued to send me. I have a full wrestling outfit at this point, like a spandex thing, the wrestling boots and everything that you've sent.
Awesome.
I'm slowly constructing a wrestling ring. They've sent me more wrestling action figures. Like, that's his side hustle is basically he's leaning super into the wrestling part.
If I see anything else, I'll send that to you. Yeah.
Harvey Z, in the meantime, his side project is, if you come and visit my island, it's going to be great because it just seems normal, except if you visit his house. Because in the distance, you slowly see, like, this Godzilla diorama.
Oh, no.
Like, I put it at a distance, so it's all, like, just shadows, and you're just like, wait, is that what I think it is? And yes, it's exactly what you think it is. And then if you come up close, you'll see all the props and stuff that I've set up where it's like Godzilla setting a pagoda on fire and Mothra's in the background.
I am very glad that you're spending your Nook Miles on something that you need.
Yeah, this was completely, like, this is why, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in the game. And so if you don't give me,
that is,
like,
exactly what you're supposed to do in the game. It's all about making your island your own thing. And that's amazing. I love it.
So that's, I don't know if I'm doing this right, but we've got a little Godzilla diorama. The rest of the island, normal fruits, people living in and stuff. But if you come and visit me and you just look out the window or you look at the back, it's like, wait, is that?
I think I might stop by and actually visit your island after we're done recording here if you've got a little bit of time.
Yeah, I don't mind. Okay. I'll bring you over and let you see the diorama.
Awesome. Okay, well, I feel like that's a good Animal Crossing update, good Civ update. Why don't we take a short section out of here and hit the countdown cauldron?
Oh, yeah. It's been a while. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's been a while. And I think we're going to move on into the 60s now. So we are now in section 61 to 70.
Okay. I feel like, I mean, you know, I always hit like all the 10 markers and everything, but are we gonna have a chance to do two?
Not this podcast, but we will do. Okay. We've done multiple from each section,
so then I'm gonna go with the nice one. Let's just go with 69. What do you got?
Of course, 69. Yeah, you know what? I expected it as soon as I said this section. If you didn't think that was coming, you've really got to pay attention to Harvey Z better. Okay. And just so we're clear, I had no, like, when I was ranking this, I didn't specifically put, like, games I wanted to talk about at, like, the 50s or special numbers or anything. Like, this is just, I ranked them, mm-hmm. and where they turned out is where they landed. So, number 69, nice, is Danganronpa 2.
Why do I, so, oh, okay, I've heard of this, the name of this game, yeah.
Yeah. So, if you're not familiar with the Danganronpa series, Danganronpa, it's a kind of a visual novel-esque game with mystery elements to it. But basically the plot is 16 students get locked in a scenario. The first ones, it's in a high school. The second one, they're on this island, but they're like all students. And this psychotic bear called Monokuma starts torturing them and says they have to kill each other. And so basically the game goes through this mystery where, like, at each chapter there's a murder, and you have to figure out which of the students did the murdering and also, like, why they did it. Basically the plot of the game is if the murderer gets away with it, they get to leave and everyone else dies. But if everyone else solves the murder and pins the murder on the right person, that the murderer dies and everyone else gets to move on in the game. And it's
a different murderer each time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's this weirdly fun sort of, like, you're in like a sort of jury courtroom-esque setting where, like, they'll be like throwing out all these theories, and there's like mini games in addition to that. So it's not just like puzzle solving. They have like, I can't remember what they call them. There's some sort of bullets where you like use bullets to answer the questions correctly. It's very like gamified in terms of figuring out what's going on. And it has great music. There's like rebuttals and random shit going down, and like when you finally corner the murderer, there's like a final battle between the two of you where you like put the nail in the coffin and like prove that they were the ones that did it. And Danganronpa 2 specifically has like one of my favorite characters of all time. It's Nagato Kamida. He is a little shit who is just the worst person you have ever met, and he's so fucking annoying, and he's awesome because he is just balls to the wall insane, and he doesn't ever actually commit murder. Minor spoilers here. The first chapter basically has Kamida manipulating somebody else into murdering a person, and you know he's a little shit the entire game, but you can't do anything about it because he's just being a little shit but not actually getting his hands dirty. And he is just one of the best characters ever made. I love him.
Is the series meant to be like where it's, so if you play the game multiple times, it's always the same story?
Yes. Yeah. So it's not like a roguelike or like random killers or anything like that. It's always the same story. That's why I said it's visual novel-esque, because every time you play it, it's going to be the same. You're not going to get variations. There's minor things you can do differently. Like during like the down periods, you can like talk to different people. Like you have downtime where you can give gifts and like hang out with other students. So you get like their story beats. So you can like talk to the people that are your favorites and get more story out of them. But in general, like the actual story beat plots are the same each time.
Got it. Interesting. So, I know this, I think, from the manga. So did the games come first, or was there a manga first?
I didn't even know there was a manga. Oh. I mean, this is a very... Oh, no, there is a manga for it. I was going to say that this is a very simple theme, and, like, students killing each other is a
classic big thing trope.
Yeah, Japanese manga and that sort of thing. But apparently there was a manga for it. I think the video game was first, though.
Yeah, it might be something you might enjoy if it has the same characters and stuff. I don't know which storyline they focus on.
It looks like the first game came out in 2010, and the first manga came out in 2011. So it's probably the same story, just told in manga instead of game. But yeah, I really liked it. It's one of my favorite series. I hope they do another one. There's been three so far. I hope there's a fourth at some point.
How did you hear about it or get into it?
Through friends. So originally I got interested in it because it wasn't originally released in English. And so what happened was it was like a playthrough of it on a message board. I don't remember where it was, but like some guy was playing through it and translating it, and like he would do it in sections, and then like people would be like, oh my god, it's so and so is going to be the killer, or oh no, it's not, you know, don't do that, do this. And it was like it ended up being kind of like a secondary story where like everyone there was like fans, and it became like its own phenomenon because this guy was translating it. And then eventually it got popular enough that they decided to bring it over to America, and people could actually play it. And I was just in that sort of hype bubble, I guess, when people were super excited about it.
Huh. Interesting choice.
Yeah. So that was number 69.
Nice.
We're starting to get into the games that I'm really excited about and have a lot less like, well, this isn't why I like them, but they couldn't make it higher because of X. Like, this is just starting to get into the games where, like, these are just good games. Okay, so I do want to talk a little bit more about the games I've been playing. Obviously, I also was playing Animal Crossing and Civ 6. But there is one game that I really want to talk about, which is Final Fantasy VII Remake. And then there's a smaller game that I'm going to go real quick into before I go into Final Fantasy VII. I just started playing it last night. It's called Chroma Squad, and it's something you might be interested in. It's like this little pixel tactics game where you are basically playing as like five Power Ranger Sentai Squad people, and Chroma Squad is the name of like the Sentai show that it is. And basically you're like filming episodes where you fight different monsters, and it's really fun. It's like this, it's the tactics are not like super in depth like in XCOM or something else, but it's still like you do like team attacks, and where you, if you put a couple people next to the same enemy, you do a lot stronger attacks. You can use teamwork to like extend people's movements. Like you'll run up to a person and they'll like give you a boost, and you'll somersault further across the map so you can get closer to other enemies. Uh-huh. And you have like special powers based on what ranger it is. Like you have like a leader and an assault and a techie and like a support class that can heal. And so like each ranger has their own niche. And you get to, at the beginning, you get to choose, basically you have five rangers and you get to choose like which ones you want to go into, this particular run with. And there's like different,
How many can you send in?
So there's five total, and they're like, you choose five rangers to be it for this like show or run you're doing. And I think there were like 15 total to choose from. So each time you like start a new game, you can choose different ones, and each ranger or like actor has a different like strengths and weaknesses. And then like what role you put them in will also like affect things. So like there's a scout, and my scout has like high counter potential. So like my scout has high movement, high counter. So I can run up to enemies that are further away and attack them and like kind of bring enemies to them since they're the closest. And then they have the highest potential to like dodge the attacks and do counter attacks to enemies that are coming to get them. And so there's like that layer of strategy based on who you choose. And then you can like upgrade their equipment and that sort of thing.
And this sounds a lot of fun, actually. I'm looking at it, like, I'm just reading about it a little bit more. It is a very appealing game. I'm just trying to look at, like, now what does it look like itself, like pictures and stuff, because
yeah,
you've sold me so far.
It's like pixel arty, like it. I think it works really good on the Switch. Like I played through one season. I basically did the season finale of season one last night, and it's a really fun little tactics game. It's not anything that's going to like revolutionize anything. And you can choose your difficulty, so you can go easy, normal, hard, impossible, depending on how into tactics you are. But yeah, I'm enjoying it so far with my small playthrough into it. Also, you get to choose the colors of the Rangers when you start your playthrough. You can make them exactly the Power Rangers if you want. You can choose your own colors. I think my squad is white, green, red, purple, and pink. I just wanted to do something slightly different. But yeah, it's up your alley, and so I wanted to mention it.
I'm definitely interested in this, and I'm curious about it in the sense as well of, like, there's this weird aspect. So they're on a TV show, and they know they're on a TV show.
Yeah, they're, like, filming a TV show, and do each, like, episode you have like director's orders, mm-hmm. and you don't, they're like bonus objectives. So they do something like do 3 team attacks or kill all the other enemies before you hit the boss. And like, if you get that, you get like special bonus audience points. And like each episode is like, you can add bonuses to your base, but it like comes out of your budget. So you can like get better cameras or like, you know, better microphones, and these will do things like add to your audience fans and that sort of thing. So it's an interesting twist on the base management sort of thing from like XCOM, because you can like choose your advertising.
This is awesome. Sort of thing. How much is it?
Like, I got it. It was on sale, I think, for $10.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still on sale. Oh, it's not telling me because I've already downloaded it. It's one of the stupid things about the Switch is that once you've bought something, it just says you've downloaded it. It doesn't give you, like, the price. I think, okay, so it's $14.99 regularly. It might be $9.99 right now.
Okay.
If you're interested. I definitely got it like within the last couple days, so it's probably still on sale.
Okay. I'll definitely take a look.
All right. So we're getting towards the end here, and I want to spend a lot of time. I have a lot to say about Final Fantasy VII Remake, but I will get into it a little bit here. So I've already beaten it. I think last weekend I just kind of vegged out and basically killed like 2/3 of the game at once. After like playing it somewhat and then like letting other life stuff and like trying to space out my playing of the game. But then I was just like, no, I want to finish this. And I will say this, I love the game. Like Final Fantasy VII Remake, it's solidly up there. Like it and Animal Crossing are probably the two favorite games so far this year. Everything about it is amazing. They made good combat. The characters, the expansions they did to the story, everything about it, I love it. I was minorly upset with like how some of the combat scenarios played out. It doesn't do a good job for multiple enemies. It's one of those games where like it shines when you're it's like your party versus like one big boss, but when you're fighting like 5 smaller quick things, you can get like stun locked into combos and it becomes not fun. And like, there's also this really hyper aggro-ness. So like your party can consist of 3 people. And you like, you can switch between the 3 people at any time, but whatever person you're currently on, all the AI is basically super aggro to whoever you're playing. So it gets a little funky because like, if you want to like switch over to somebody and heal, they will like come flying at you out of nowhere. And like, it's hard to like switch to a support character, and because it automatically, like all the enemies start focusing on whoever you're choosing. Mm-hmm.
It sort of defeats the purpose of a tank.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the abilities that they give you to like actually tank don't really work in a good way. Like they need to, I feel like there are some adjustments they can make to the combat for like in the second game, which there's got to be a second game, but that they can that to make it better. It's really close to being just amazing. Like I love the combat. It's one of those games where I'm okay doing all the little side quests because the combat involved in the side quests is so much fun. And there is one thing I really want to get into, but it's like a huge spoiler. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I am going to be talking about the biggest change from the original Final Fantasy VII to Final Fantasy VII Remake. So if you are interested in the game and haven't like finished it, because it's basically endings-ish spoilers, although it's kind of spread throughout the entire game, just stop listening because we're going to talk about this and then we're probably going to end. So
we won't say anything funny at the end. Yeah, we'll try to be.
Thanks for listening. Make Me a Gamer is great. You can find the podcast at Make Me a Podcast on Twitter and, you know, all the usual stuff we do. Okay. Now, spoilers for, and I assume, are you okay with this? I guess I should have asked that first.
I'm as spoiler, anti-spoiler as I am, but like, I don't see myself getting this game or getting the system to play it, so you're welcome to spoil it.
All right. So, basically, this game does something that I feel like only a game can do. And even if it's, like, I can't imagine another scenario, like, an entertainment medium where this can be done. So basically throughout the game, there are these weird hooded cloak Dementor type things that kind of like interact with you. And basically what they're doing during the game is making sure big events from the original game happen the way they're supposed to. And so they never show up in like the new added bonus things that are like expansions to the story. But when something important to the plot of the original game is happening, usually these cloaked figures show up. And they're called Whispers. And basically what happens is at by the end of the game, you realize that the Whispers are trying to make the original game happen again. Like they're basically there to make sure the plot happens the exact same. And the penultimate boss of the game is you killing these Whispers. So you like destroy them, and then moving forward into the next game, they aren't going to be there anymore to like dictate the plot.
So by doing so, would that mean like the next game might actually go off course or off the plot?
Exactly. Like basically you see like flashes of things that happen in the future in the original game. But like these characters, this version, this Final Fantasy VII remake is basically these characters being like, no, fuck Destiny. We're not going to be dictated to this, because the original game has like a very kind of somber ending where like you beat the bad guy in the end, but he kind of also gets his plan off and like the entire planet is changed. But this one, they're like, no, we're not going to let that happen. And it's very interesting because like, I've seen a couple think pieces where like these Whispers are kind of like the super fan incarnate, where like all the fans of the Final Fantasy VII just want the exact same game done again, just in better graphics. They just want to play the exact same thing a second time, and then the characters are proxy, like the people directing are kind of like, no, we want to do something different with this. I love it. Like, I think it's a great thing to do, because you can't do that. Like, this is something that happens in the gaming medium where, like, they're making the same game again, but they're giving their characters agency a second time, and, like, things are going to change. And, like, you never see an author rewrite the same book, but then have the character realize it's already happening, or has already happened, and does something different. And like, can you imagine like a trilogy of books being rewritten where the characters are just doing the same things but slightly differently until they like fight destiny. Like, fighting destiny is a thing that happens, but that happens the first time around. And like, games are this medium where there's always these remakes or reboots, and every time before when they've done it, it's like they tell the same story, or it's like a new take on the same characters, and it's not like this is actually a new plot but the same plot, and like the characters are fighting against the original plot and fighting against the 20 odd years of history where people just want to see the same thing again and again and again. And I just find it fascinating.
I'm trying to think of like where I've, because I like this idea, and I'm trying to think, has it been done elsewhere? Because the other ones are like time travel, but that's different.
Yeah, and like,
but to do the same thing.
Yeah, like you get it a little bit in like things like Avengers Endgame, where there's like time travel and they're going back to like, and you see things that have happened before. But like, this is the first time where it's like they're doing their own thing, but it's still the same game. But so you're going to get a lot of the things you want to see again. You're seeing these characters you love so much, but they're not doing it exactly the same way this time. And like, Final Fantasy VII is one of those games where like everyone knows like the big story beat of this. You might not.
I don't.
But okay. But the fact that now that all of that is up in the air and who knows what they'll actually do, like, I feel like they're still going to follow the game in general, but like this twist on the destiny and everything. I'm a fan. I'm looking forward to.
At what point did you realize that that's what was happening with the whispers? Was it right away, or did it over time, like halfway through, you're like, holy shit, I know what's going on?
It was closer to the end of the game where I started realizing when they were showing up, and I'm like, wait. I started piecing it together. By the end, when the big reveal happened, I was like, yeah, I saw this coming, but it was set up so perfectly. And I loved it because, you know, I enjoy these characters. I enjoy Final Fantasy VII. It's up there as one of my favorite games, but I didn't want to just play Final Fantasy VII again. You know, I can do that already. Final Fantasy VII is there. And this is a bold risk. Like, there's so much history with this game, and the fact that they're just saying like, nah, we're gonna give you what you want, but we're also going to do something that makes it interesting for us. Like, I'm totally okay with that. I'm a fan.
Because I was gonna ask you, like, pre spoilers and everything, I was gonna ask, did this game do anything different that was interesting?
Yes, obviously.
Yeah,
and then like, it's not just this. Like, they added like sections that gave you more in-depth characterization of characters that were kind of minor in the first one. It added some new characters that were really interesting and cool. And yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I am really interested to see where things go from here. I've been playing through a little bit on hard mode. I don't normally do that with games. Like, I immediately jumped into like getting trophies. I think I might try and platinum it, although it might take a while. And yeah, like, Final Fantasy VII is everything I could have asked for in this remake. Like, I'm so happy with how it turned out. Like, there's nothing disappointing about it for me. I can talk about this game. I could probably do an entire podcast just on the game. I'm also starting to lose my voice. I've been talking a lot. I'm not used to talking this much. I've been so quietly sitting in my apartment doing work and not interacting with people.
How long would the game take you?
I think I was just shy of 40 hours when I completed it the first time.
Okay, so that's a pretty good sized game, actually.
Yeah, it was not like a short game. It was a decent RPG. I had a lot of fun. I spent a decent chunk of time on it.
Huh. So a recommendation from T-Man.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a T-Man seal of approval, I'd say. Like I said, it and Animal Crossing are the top two games of like what, five games that have actually released this year that I've played, since everything's being delayed and all that stuff.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
All right. So that's the actual it. After the fake ending, before the spoilers, this is the real ending. Harvey Z, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at the Z is silent.
You can find me on Twitter at T-Man Plays Games, although I've noticed I spend a lot less time on Twitter when I have other things to distract me. Twitter was my work distraction on my phone, and now that I'm working from home for like the last month, I'll like watch movies or put TV on in the background and don't really check Twitter as much. So if I'm less prevalent on there, that's why. But yeah, you can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can find my writings at tmanwrites.com. And did I miss anything? Writings, podcast. You can always email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. And you can join our Discord. It's been a little quiet, but we kind of pop in there every now and then. That'll be in the link below. Thank you for listening, as always. And Harvey Z, take us out.
I don't have any words of wisdom. I mean, I told the people up front, like, ignore this episode. I'm not going to deny them anything.
What?
You people, just because you listen to your fucking spoilers all the way through, expect some special thing from all of us. No. Harvey Z is all about equality for everybody. This is for the people who can't be here right now. Who actually, the people who are like me, the spoiler skippers, the people who are missing out, they're not going to miss out because of me.
Okay, fine. Be that way. We'll just end it here then. All right. Yeah, that's good. Good for me. Go ahead and hit
stop. Actually, let's talk about the spoilers now. There's so much now. Fuck those people.